With hundreds of millions of dollars pledged to help rebuild Notre Dame in Paris, we head to St. Paul's Cathedral in London to learn why funding for preventative maintenance of historic buildings is such a big challenge. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, employees of India's troubled Jet Airways are holding more demonstrations today in New Delhi. The company halted operations Thursday after failing to secure emergency funding. Employees this week have been demanding their salaries, which in some cases haven't been paid in months.
Some people who have not been able to manage, they're mortgaging their properties, they're selling their car.
It's been years and years we've been working just for the company. Never thought of that we will leave it this way.
It all happened too soon and we are lost. We don't know where to go from here, basically.
At its peak, the airline ran nearly 120 planes and 600 flights carrying thousands of passengers every day. But high fuel costs, increasing competition from low-cost carriers, and spiraling debt have contributed to financial losses at the country's oldest private airline. The BBC's Monica Miller reports from Mumbai.
There's been a lot of people who have had a sleepless night. Yesterday, 1,000 people were protesting in Delhi. These are Jet Airways workers who are really unclear as to what to expect for the future. I just got off the phone with the head of their union, and he said that they still don't have any answers. They have now asked Prime Minister Narendra Modi to step in and do something about this. Now, this is not a good time for him. He is facing an election for another 5 years, and he touted himself as a pro-business prime minister. And he has now been plagued since January, when a report came out that their unemployment numbers here were the highest they have been since the mid-1970s. So in that respect, we still haven't heard from the prime minister in response to these Jet Airways employees. 16,000 of them are now out of a job. 500 pilots now have actually found work elsewhere, but really the future is unclear as to what the rest of them should do and how they should pay their bills.
Monica Miller there. Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia were mixed today, while markets in Europe and in the U.S. are closed for Good Friday. Shares of Nissan were down 2.25% in Japan after the Nikkei reported the automaker planned to slash global production by 15%. Nissan, in a statement, though, called the story, quote, completely inaccurate. And amid concern about China's rising global influence, one of the country's top diplomats said today the country's Belt and Road Initiative is not a geopolitical tool or a debt crisis trap for participating nations. The comments come ahead of a summit next week for the trade project. After a devastating fire burned through Notre Dame on Monday, hundreds of millions of dollars have been pledged to rebuild the landmark. And it's made us wonder, what lessons can we learn about preventative restoration efforts and fundraising to help prevent accidents like this in the future? St. Paul's Cathedral in London sprung to mind as an example. It's been destroyed and rebuilt 4 times. And it's from the grand steps there that Ian Morrison, Director of Policy and Evidence at Historic England, gave me a brief summary of its storied history.
One of the most enduring images from the Second World War was St. Paul's emerging from the smoke of the Blitz and surviving as a monument of defiance against the horrors of the war. And it's kind of appropriate that we're here at St. Paul's today, because on this site in 1666 stood a fantastic Gothic cathedral, probably one of the finest Gothic cathedrals in this country, and a rival for Notre Dame in many ways. And it sadly was a victim of the Great Fire of London. And I think at the time, the impact on the people of London and the country was really profound, to lose something so remarkable. And it really did hit the national psyche and led to this, you know, extraordinary creation being put back in its place. You know, that's how important it is. The cost of it, the time it took to build, was felt a really worthy to give people hope, give them something to look forward to. Things like the tragedy in Notre Dame remind people of the fragility of these buildings, and you know, you don't realise what you have until it's threatened by loss. And you know, that in itself is a sort of carrion call for people around the world, to remind people of just how important these buildings are and of the need to maintain them and to keep them in good condition.
So I just want to talk for a minute about how you decide what becomes a historic landmark, and then how do you decide what gets the money and when and how much?
We have very strict criteria to ensure that we are only protecting those that are really, really significant. Funding is one of the greatest challenges that we face. I won't deny it. What we tend to do is look at several things. You know, firstly, how can we invest in preventive maintenance to try and stop buildings becoming at risk in the first place, but also how can we invest in buildings that are in most need of support. So we have something called a Buildings at Risk Register, which lists all of the protected buildings that are in most danger, and that is our priority for investment, and we try and encourage others to use that as the priority for investment.
So there are programs like the National Trust in the U.S., it's the National Parks, that people can become members of, and their membership, of course, goes to upkeep of historic landmarks. Does that provide a significant amount of funding?
There can never be enough publicity and awareness of those kind of organizations. I mean, the National Trust in this country has 5 million members, and English Heritage Trust has nearly 1 million more. But, of course, that still means that there's 90% of the population that are not involved in those organizations. And the money, you're right, the money that's raised through membership of those organizations is tremendous. Valuable to invest in the upkeep of these monuments that many of us take for granted.
What kind of projects are you guys working on now to increase public awareness?
By coincidence, a campaign that we're running alongside the Imperial War Museum, looking at the destruction of historic buildings and the loss of historic buildings, and that will be a multifaceted campaign of both an exhibition and online material and news stories. We have a whole raft of historians and archaeologists and conservation specialists that are producing fantastic new information about the historic environment every day.
Ian Morris speaking to me there. Finally, it's long been thought the human body has 206 bones, but researchers in London found another one in a tendon behind the knee. The bonus bone's function isn't known, but scientists say better nutrition has made it 3 times more common in the human body than it was 100 years ago. The more you know. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.